This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up, we're going to get to 4th and 1. Also, yeah, man, No Man's making its return today. Day-Day is going to take that over. He's got some things for us. I'm looking forward to that. 404-726-0929, that is the number for you to join us. This hour is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. And Mike made his way back from Miami, was down there, what, Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Yeah. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Good time, fun time. Yeah, man, it was great weekend for the race. It was fun because the Panthers, obviously, in the playoffs, so people in Fort Lauderdale where I was staying are still bananas. You see a lot of Panthers flags down as you go downtown in Las Olas and on boats and missing hockey. Speaking of hockey, our long-lost Atlanta Thrashers had one of the great moments of recent NHL history, if you didn't see it. I know we don't really follow Winnipeg, but for some Thrasher fans near and dear, one of the great comebacks. We'll talk more about that in a guy talk later in the 4 o'clock hour. But, yeah, man, it's kind of fun where hockey is still, there's a passion for it. I mean, you know, people always say, Carl, like, it works in the Sun Belt, just not when you have terrible owners like we had in Atlanta.
Yeah, put a good product together, good ownership group. I do think if we get a chance to get it back, and it feels like we are, don't know the timetable on that, that we're going to be, it'll be a lot better this time around. Hey, man, we'd love to hear from you. Braves, again, currently 5-11 against teams with a 500 record or better. That includes the Dodgers. So that's why we continue to talk about it. Guy hit me up. He says, man, y'all sound down on the Braves. No, not down. I'm actually very excited that they've been able to bounce back. But there is a reality to this. Now, if you're telling me Strider and Acuna are going to put us again over the top and put us back in a position where you feel like we're better than the Dodgers, then that means they're having hell of a seasons. Okay?
Right. I mean, that's the thing. You know, Strider's got to come back and, you know, be careful and stretch out before you have a catch in the outfield. I mean, I get it. I know it's embarrassing to him, and he was very angry and understandably because he's a competitive guy. But I mean, he's got to hit the ground running. You know, that's the thing. Now he's gonna rehab and then stretch it out, blah blah blah. So now, how long before he's effective? Okay, that's the question. Effective. Same thing goes for Ronald Acuna. Shout out to Jim, who I was sitting next to on the flight up here from Fort Lauderdale this morning. Big Braves fan. And he goes, you guys, he asked me, because, you know, we're supposed to have secret sauce on this. When is Ronald coming back? I go, I don't know.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows when he's coming back. And same thing goes for him. When he comes in, is he going to hit the ground running? And it's not like Ronald shows and goes, everybody get on my back. But right. That's what you're kind of needing.
Well, yeah.
Along with Austin Riley.
Well, it's almost like fans feel like, and look, there's no bigger Ronald Acuna fan guy than me. But he's not going to hit a home run every time up. He's not going to get a triple every time up. Like, that's the thing. As good as he can potentially be, I just need Ronald to be Ronald. I don't need him to try to do more, but we'll get more into this coming up because that's the issue. It's not that we're down on the Braves. Braves salvage a game. All right, good Dodgers team comes into town. You knew it was going to be a tough struggle.
A little more aggressive on the base pass with Michael Harris, something you and I have been talking about. So that's, you know, I'd like to see Snicker release the hounds. Let him do some things on the base pass.
All right, man. Dom, let's get to a 4th and 1. All right, May 20th, 21st, big day. Because that's when the NFL owners are going to meet in Minneapolis. Now, why is that a big day? Because it means that they tabled the tush push conversation, and it's probably going to be revisited. Right. And, Mike, there are several owners who are opposed to allowing this play to continue. All right? However you want to view it, whatever you think it is or what it could be or why don't we run it,
right.
The bottom line is it's going to take 24 of the 32 owners to vote for a ban of the tush push. But right now, it feels like there are a lot of owners who want to ban it.
Albert Breer, who writes Monday Morning Quarterback, took over for Peter King. He says when they table something like this and they continue it, it means Goodell wants to kill it. So basically, Roger Goodell and his minions, Carl, at Park Avenue, want to kill this play. Has anybody – I've never seen the tush push and then all of a sudden seen an opposing player or anybody on the Eagles suddenly writhe in pain somewhere between the hash marks. So the player safety concern is complete BS.
No, there's no numbers
behind
that.
You've made a better mousetrap. You've come up with something innovative and either other teams don't have their own imagination or feel, I don't know, too much ego as an offensive coordinator copycat what the Eagles are doing. You can put a big dude. If your quarterback isn't as muscular as Jalen Hurts, there's dudes you can use. Tight ends, you know, running backs. You know, there's ways you could pull this play off, especially for teams like the Falcons who always struggle in short yardage.
I just don't like how boring it makes the game.
And well, that playoff NFC Championship sequence was awful.
Yes, and that's my only pushback. If you run the tush push, run the tush push. That's fine. I just don't want to see it six times from the 4-yard line right. in the red zone.
So, but here's the thing: you're going to say you can only use your tush push once in every series?
No, but that's what I'm saying. That's why I think they're going to ban it.
Oh, I think it's gone.
And I think the owners realize, all right, this doesn't help the overall product or the aesthetics of the game. We'll see. That's the big date. Meanwhile, let's hear Peter King. Talk about this Belichick situation. And by the way, let me say this, because you guys are funny. I've gotten all kind of comments. I told Day-Day this. We posted that segment we did last week on Bill Belichick. I've gotten more response from people being upset. Why are you picking on Belichick? All the different things. And the funniest part about this, Mike, is the audacity of some people to say, you know, it's his private life. When it's other people's private lives, you guys want to be all in it. The part about this is we've never known about his private life. And now it's public. That is why we discussed it, and that's why everybody's talking about it, including Peter King.
This is a guy who owned every room he ever walked into, and now he's got a 24-year-old muse telling him what to do or trying to control situations that, quite frankly, she has nothing to do with or should have nothing to do with. Bill's got to get a hold of himself.
Whoa!
He's got to get a hold of this situation. This is embarrassing.
Hey, great for Peter King, the dean of football journalism.
Thank you.
In America to
but
say
But Dukes
it.
And Bell says that. Oh, you guys.
No, because you still got the Belichick jock sniffers out there. Don't really. He's lost his freaking mind, and now he's got to reach out to a public relations firm to fix this. Because it looks bad. Look, there's and another thing, and Peter King brought this up earlier. Why are you wearing a raggedy shirt? We know you wear shirts with holes in them. You're on CBS television. You look like you just rolled out from under your garage doing an oil change. I mean, you look like a mental patient. I'm sorry, you just do. It's like the wheel. And Peter King just eloquently put it. This is a guy who had complete control of every single aspect of his team, personal life, and now he just like got some young stuff, but he's lost his damn mind.
No comment. That is Peter King. Meanwhile, Mike, Howie Roseman, before we play the soundbite, you were talking about the potential reach for James Pierce Jr.
Right. Now, again, I liked Mike Green. So, by the way, Mike Green speaking with the media in Baltimore, and a lot of folks saying, look, show me the criminal charges. Show me what the heck this guy was supposed to have. We're not saying something didn't happen, but is it enough to forestall his career? You know what I mean? Because they're treating this guy like that punter from San Diego State, who later we found out wasn't involved in the situation. Yeah. Everyone said he was, and basically ruined his draft stock. But anyway, I'm sorry. I wanted Green. There were other players out there we had talked about. But either way, some folks, as a matter of fact, most folks in the NFL still think it was a reach for us to go for Pierce and give as much as we did to get there to do it.
Look, the day after when we were up there, and I said to you, because I can share this, I said, today is not the day. I'm happy that we drafted Edge. We needed it. Mike and I got a chance to talk to him. But I also said to Mike, he's like the 7th or 8th best edge rusher on a lot of people's boards. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't come in here and make a difference. It doesn't mean that he's not a player. But when you start talking to other teams around the league and they're like, it's not just us saying, okay, where was he? Could we have gotten him in the 2nd round? And again, at the end of the day, now the draft's over and it doesn't matter, Mike. He's got to come in here and perform. But if he doesn't, people around the NFL will be killing us because they will say, you had so many other options to help your team there, and you decided to do this if he doesn't pan out. And that is what we have to figure out. How is he going to help this team? I think he can get, you know, they talk about the pressure rate and all this stuff.
Right.
Okay, that's great. I want to see him become, because I don't think he is, an every down edge guy on the field for you. Not only setting the edge, Mike, but also getting off the edge and getting the quarterback. I don't think he's that everyday down guy right now.
I mean, could you have stayed at 46 and then moved up to get ahead of the Cowboys or anyone perceived in that 2nd round that was going for edge? And then you could have Donovan Ezeraku. You know, and again, I think once you got Jalen Walker, I felt in the mind, if you were worried about winning the PR battle or just you either fell in love, you had to get edge specific, you could have done anything you wanted with that 2nd pick. But to me, our general manager, and look, if the guy pans out, great. But right now, it sure looks like tunnel vision. They were locked on a guy, and as Carl and I said it, when you're interviewing a young man, everybody handles the situation differently. You know, he's learning to handle the media. But Jalen Walker comes in, he's like a CEO of a Fortune 500 company. It's tough to have anybody in that room after Jalen Walker, because Jalen Walker's like the guy you want your daughter to date, the guy you want leading your football team, everything about Georgia's, you know, and Kirby's ethos embodied in one person. And then Pierce is kind of a shy, soft-spoken. I mean, he doesn't mean he can't rip somebody's head off as an edge rusher. But you understand why the concerns about maturity were cropping up when you looked at his draft profile.
And that was the concern. Again, they said they did an extensive, you know, background check, blah, blah, blah. They met with mom. Cool. We're going to have to wait and see. But I will tell you guys, I need killers. And I'm not worried about Jalen Walker.
Right.
I'm just not. The size thing, I told you, that's always a concern in the NFL because you play big men. These are big, strong, grown men. So you do need size. But if he's handled that in the best college conference in the country and became one of the top players in the country, well, hell, he can handle it here. Let that go.
Right.
But I need killers to be a different kind of defense, Mike. And I'm not sure right now with where I'm at with James Pierce, if he's that guy. And I'm not picking on him. I'm telling you, I love the Xavier Watts pick. The Billy Bowman kid, I don't know enough about him. Texas guys are telling me, dude is really legit.
Right.
So, okay, great. They saw him the last 3 years or whatever. He was like a three-year starter at Oklahoma. He's a playmaker. Great. We maybe got a steal there. But this is the pick that everybody's going to talk about.
And I know that as far as the other guys, the undrafted free agents, it's a good read. I know the Athletic's behind a paywall. But our buddy Josh Kendall did a deeper dive on everybody that we signed, Carl, as an undrafted free agent, including Nick Nash and the numbers that he put up as far as the 40. Very similar to what Puka Nacua ran. So all of a sudden now, if this guy can get some traction, you know, look, we've had the great white hype come through his wide receiver chances in camp and never make the 53-man roster, not even make the practice squad. But this guy, he's 26. That's one's going to be very curious to see. But getting back to your point about Pierce, as we said, guys, here's what the people are saying, and then you hear what Howie Roseman has to say, and he's like, well, we're trying to get back in the back of the first round. Wow. No wonder we can't do it, because the Falcons are giving up everything to do it.
Here's Howie Roseman, the GM of the Eagles.
Atlanta coughs up a second tomorrow night, a seventh on Saturday, and a first rounder next year.
Wow, they traded their one.
First next year. Who did?
For what?
Atlanta.
Atlanta?
For what? Just the pick?
No,
first and a third.
Two and a one.
Understand why people aren't taking our pick, our deals.
Now, are they laughing?
And that's in the war room, of course.
Correct.
On draft night.
Correct. Good point. But are they laughing with us or at us?
I think it's at us.
Because when he says, oh, well, you know, no wonder nobody's taking our picks. And then the reaction in the Eagles war room is, we were trying to get back in there. Obviously, we weren't giving up enough. And the reaction is, they gave up too much.
Right. Couldn't you have just moved up into the top of the second round and given up trade, swapping your seconds and next year's second? You know, and then get any of these impact edge rushers, which everyone had higher on their board than Pierce. That's going to be this way everyone's going to watch. And I don't know if you just said it, if there's going to be extra pressure on Pierce, because we need impact. The whole draft conversation, if you're going to do that, you got to get impact. That's not a project. That's got to be impact.
No doubt. We got more to get to, guys, coming up. Connor Riley's going to join us at 4 o'clock. Big decision day for a quarterback to decide whether he's going to Georgia or not. We're going to ask him about that and much more. But when we come back, we're good. But not that good. We'll explain to you why next. It is Dukes and Bell. It's funny. We were having this conversation about Howie Roseman in the war room. And look, he gets a lot of love right now as probably the most respected executive because the Eagles have been relevant. They've won a couple of chips or been to a couple of Super Bowls, won a chip, you know, since what, 17? Actually, two because they won one. That's right. They won one against the Patriots that year. But, Mike, I also think as we were talking about James Pierce Jr., and Mike just said this, and I want to convey this too. Do we want him to be great? That's a given. As fans, we want him to be the best. And, you know, we don't know how any of these guys are going to pan out. As we were talking about, you know, did Terry make the right decision? Jason Gibson hits us up on social media, on X and Twitter, and he says, look, guys, Terry doesn't care about the next few years' first-round draft pick. If he doesn't make the playoffs, he's out. So he did what he thought he needed to be done to save his booty. And I said, you're right. That's not my issue. My issue is, did he get the right guy? And regardless of whether you care about the first-round pick next year, that's fine. I said this. If you felt so compelled to go get a guy, which they did,
right,
that this is the difference maker, then do what you need to do. Go get him. I don't want to hear any excuses about, man, we really liked him, but we didn't have the balls to make the move. So they did. But whether Terry's here or not, he's going to be here. And did he get the right guy? That's my question.
Because, yes, I understand. I said to the texter, yeah, we all know it. Shoot your shot, because if you don't go to the playoffs, you're all fired. That's it. You know, I don't know about Ron necessarily, but I do think Ron's going to be on super thin ice if they don't make the playoffs, along with Coach, you know, and the general manager. Like, we'll go out the door together. So in the case of this, you know, this edge rusher, Pierce Jr., and I said to Carl during the commercial break, you know, Jalen Walker's the can't miss. You couldn't believe he fell to you. And who knows? Because, you know, fickle fate. Who knows who's going to be the man? For all we know, Pierce may be the dude. And they, like, the reason they fell in love with Pierce's game is the combination of the speed and the height, the athleticism,
size,
the reach,
yep,
like a friggin' pterodactyl, and he can get after it. But, you know, it's just interesting because all we can do now, we got a few more months to percolate on this until we see what these guys do at camp, Carl, in preseason. But everybody who's breaking it down says, well, you could have gotten a guy and you could have stayed where you were, just moved up a few spots in the second round and pulled this off and still have your draft equity for next year.
Yeah. Either way, it is a make or break year for the Falcons, and I do feel that way too. So appreciate you hitting us up. Follow Mike. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm going to put him up. See Dukes and the radio shows, Dukes and Bell 929. Look, we are really good as a baseball team. The reason why we're not great is because we haven't, at least up to this point, Mike, done well against teams that are above 500. 500 or above teams, we are not doing well against. Guys, that's the upper echelon of baseball, right? So when you start talking about the National League, you're talking about the Mets, who right now, and by the way, all that money they spent looks like it's paying off, okay? They look like they're going to be a problem. But you're also talking about the Phillies in our division. Mike mentioned, you know, here come the Reds. And look, the Reds are in second place in the Central behind the Cubs, who are having a really good start to their season. These are the teams. The Dodgers, the Padres, we already saw them. And Mike, San Francisco and Arizona, they're all good. That's a dogfight in the West.
Yeah.
All these teams are above 500. Those are the teams we're struggling against.
Yeah, eventually we will get better. But right now we're 3.5 games out of the wild card, and all those teams you talked about are on top. So when we get all these pieces, that's the big if. When Strider gets back and immediately has an impact, same thing for Ronald we talked about earlier. But in the meantime, you know, Matt Olson needs to get going. Matt Olson needs to get going and keep it going and get off. But he's going back to his baseball card. He's like a 235 hitter. So it was good to have the home run. Unfortunately, it wasn't enough. Nobody else had it cooking on Friday night when you spoiled a really good effort when Grant Holmes, you know, had it cooking against that tough Dodger lineup. But, I mean, that's where you need it. Ozzie needs to be better. So this goes back to, and we kind of, by just kind of the conversation, we landed on a, well, you know what, Eureka. We weren't that great last year. We kind of scuffled and went through the same routine for almost the entire season until late we got a little hot at the right time and made the wild card.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm not saying we need to be playing our best baseball. It's not the World Series around the corner.
But you do got to improve.
You have to improve. And it's easy to beat up on the Sisters of the Poor, whether it's the Pirates or the Marlins or the Rockies. Yeah, we went out west. We beat the Rockies in a series. That's a terrible baseball team. It's the teams that are above 500 or better that you start to measure yourself against. And that's why when the Dodgers have lost one game against us all season so far,
right?
You start to say, okay, well, it'd be different if you just played them once. Guys, we've seen them now seven games. You know, it's like, okay, well, maybe they're just better. Yes, they are. But this is the issue that we've got to fight, and I think we do get better, significantly better, once Strider and Acuna return. I had another gentleman hit us up, Mike, and said, Dukes and Bell, you guys are acting like these guys aren't difference makers. No, they are. But we don't know at what point in the season they become those guys again.
I mean, when does Ronald get here? All right, how long is the rehab going to be? And when Ronald gets here, yes, in a perfect world, guys, he comes in and contributes. But I got guys out here like thinking it's gospel that Ronald shows up and immediately hits 350, you know, and like an OPS of over one and everything's solved. You don't know. And is he going to be the same dude? You know, this is a second injury. So, look, again, knock wood, hope it's all good. But still, there are a lot of ifs. And your general manager, for whatever reason, didn't really upgrade your bullpen like you probably needed. So it's been inconsistent. It's not like it's the worst thing that's going wrong on this team, but the bullpen isn't great either.
No, and Iglesias, I mentioned, you know, he scared us a little bit Sunday. Gave up an infield hit. I think it was Pages, Andy Pages, who hit that. And then, you know, the pinch runner comes in, and you're going, uh-oh. And he's still second. And Day-Day, you were at this game, right? And you're like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know, he advances a third on a Will Smith strikeout, and you're like, uh-oh, because the game is in the balance. And then all of a sudden, Iglesias strikes out the next two dudes, and you're like, okay. He's living on the edge too much for me, Mike, this season.
Yeah, like, you know me, and again, there's there's only like two or three guys that throw that kind of, you know, Mariano Rivera type stuff. And even Heater's like been punched up. We beat him up a couple years ago to get to the World Series, get to the NLCS. But one guy, I will say, well, we're not making it all doom and gloom, but you did snap the losing streak. The one guy, which I've killed for a while because I just want to see him be more, be better, be more consistent, and he has, is Bryce Elder.
Yeah.
And Bryce Elder's given up, you know, he gives up a couple earned runs, but you're getting wins, and he's won a bunch of starts. You won his four last starts as a team. So he's all of a sudden starting to check some boxes. So I don't know what they've done, but it's working. Now they've got to kind of get Schwellenbach. I don't think they have to crawl, deconstruct Schwellenbach, but they got to straighten him out right now because he's getting touched up a lot lately.
We're going to start over, son. Yeah.
I don't want to do that and mess with his head, but no. Schwellenbach's not been great.
No. And he went from being really good to like average or below average at this point. You guys can chime in about the Braves. Again, winning a game last night was big. Do not misunderstand us. But it's one of those things where you start to realize, okay, there is a pecking order. And a few years ago, guys, when we were rolling through everybody and we set all those hitting records, this is how it felt. Like teams, you just knew they weren't going to get the best of us and we weren't going to lose too many series. And this year, it started badly, and now you're trying to fight your way out of this, but you're also realizing we may not have all the things we need to get where we want to go. Long season, trade deadline, all that stuff still in front of us. Injuries, guys coming back, still in front of us. But I do want to see what this team looks like, Mike, with a healthy Strider and Acuña leading off and getting five or six at-bats, whatever it's going to be every night, and seeing what that truly looks like. And then again, it opens up a spot in left field, and I said this. Right now, what I'm telling you is Verdugo or Eli White are going to be your left fielder once Acuña gets back, and that's kind of going to be what it is.
Right, and again, and also a pleasant surprise. I mean, that's one thing that Alex does. You know, shops for value, and you get some guys that you know you might have thought, well, what's Eli White going to be? He's been really good.
Yeah,
and Verdugo has been, you know, as we said, he's been such a stirrer of the drink. So there's some positives there. But yeah, the guys that are paid to haul the freight have got to get going. Ozzie's contract is minuscule by today's MLB standards, but Ozzie and Olson and Ozzie, Tango and Cash. I want to see these guys start being consistent and stop leaving. You know, usually when there's men left on base, they're the prime culprits lately.
No, it's true. And you've been on Ozzie for a couple of weeks now.
And Ozzie's my favorite Brave.
Yeah.
But he's not just to find my lovely.
404-726-0929. Happy Monday, everybody. And a reminder that Atlanta United season is in full swing. Mike and I did not mention this, but a draw over the weekend. Mike, I don't have the answers to what's going on with this offense. Consistently, Miggy did score, but a reminder that Jason Longshore every Tuesday night has you for Atlanta Soccer Tonight, guys. Jason keeps you covered all season long with the latest Atlanta United news. Plus, he keeps tabs on the international soccer scene as well. You can check it out again Tuesday nights on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yeah, just frustrating right now. And we were out there. I know you were out Friday out at the training grounds out there in Marietta. We had a great time. The staff, everybody with Atlanta United, they do a terrific job. And the media game was a lot of fun, except for the fact that Abe gave up four goals.
Oh, my God. The shame. Ding. Shame. By the way, in Miami, one of the cool things with Formula One weekend, speaking of soccer, is that Messi and Inter Miami were home against the Red Bulls. So a lot of Argentinians came up and did the double. So they did the race weekend and go see Messi play at a very intimate arena up there in Fort Lauderdale. What was funny, a couple of guys from the Red Bulls were staying at the hotel down the street, and one of the parents of the kids, he went to Hofstra University in Long Island. I was chatting with him at the pool, and he goes, man, he goes, we wouldn't expect much for us this year, but what's wrong with Atlanta United?
Yeah,
because he follows MLS, and he goes, you guys spent money? You got your guys back? I said, dude, don't get me started. It's like no one literally stays in their lane. There's no flow, and nothing has worked, and we like Ronnie Dial, but it ain't working.
Mm. All right, coming up, as part of Yeah Man, No Man, he seeks help. If that doesn't tell you anything, I don't know what does. It's next. Crazy backstory. When Anthony Edwards was getting ready for the draft in his pre-draft workouts, apparently Golden State in their front office at the time said to him, even if we had the number one pick, we probably wouldn't take you. And Anthony Edwards
said that to him?
He's talking about it. And he said it has driven him. He went to work. He started going to the gym more and doing more. And guess who's playing in a series? Minnesota and the Golden State Warriors. Now, it's weird, Mike. Look, we all saw The Last Dance, and we now know that Michael Jordan could find anything to motivate him. We're watching Celtic City. Bird was the same way. Bird said, I couldn't smile and laugh with everybody. I was trying to kick your butt. Everybody does things in a different way, but I'm curious to see if Anthony Edwards takes that personal, like, okay, y'all told me y'all weren't even going to draft me, and now I get a chance to maybe put you guys out of the playoffs. Playoffs are going to be interesting. I think OKC rolls through Denver. I just do. They've been rolling through everybody, but in the East, you know, or in the West, should I say, with Minnesota, everybody thinks Golden State because it's Golden State and Steph, Mike. They're going to give these guys a run. Minnesota is so versatile. They got so many big guys that can play.
Randall, and like, you know, Gobert, whether you love him or hate him, I mean, the guy certainly is a perfect fit for what they're trying to do on that both half court on offense and defense. The other thing, we were talking about James Harden earlier, who went out, like he usually does, in an elimination game with a whimper.
Yeah.
And so I said on Twitter, I asked a question. I said, does James Harden have any pride? Mm. You know, 8 shots, 7 points. Some guy, some James Harden jock sniffer came back at me, well, yeah, 13 assists. I'm like, okay, you know, again, he disappears, and Carl's went on this because you saw it up close and personal. Guy, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. He'll be in Springfield, but he's just one of those guys. It's just like, what are you about? What are you?
Mike, there's a lot of things I could say right there. I've been so frustrated with the talent level that James has and his inability to carry teams.
Right.
That's it. And by the way, yeah. I'm going to say this, and this is even a bad comparison, but if you guys want to talk about all the great scorers in the league, like he scores a lot of points, there's a bunch of guys that have come in this league and set it on fire that could score that didn't win championships. So that doesn't mean anything to me. It's these crunch time moments, Mike, where it's game 6 or 7 and I need you. So,
right.
Yeah, that guy, I don't care about the 13 assists. That's not what they needed to win. They needed him to be a scorer, and that's what he is.
And when you get, just real quick, we're going to get the data here in just a minute with Yeah Man, No Man, but you know, you're 11th all-time scoring right now in the NBA history. But as you said it, your legacy, when you're going up against the elites, how do you stack up against all those elites that are around your name? And guys that had that killer instinct that you just don't seem to possess, or you just tune out. That whole team, I mean, when they drag that Gillette across their face, Carl, they got to be going, what the? I don't know what you guys are, but I mean, it's pathetic.
Hey, man, coming up, Connor Riley at 4 o'clock. Big day for the Dogs. We'll also talk about Nick Saban, who met with the president. And it's not political. It's simply, how do we improve college football? And I'm on board with that.
Right.
All right. Let's get in Day-Day, bring in Day-Day here, because I know you got a couple of things for us. Well, what's going on first and foremost, man? I know you went to the game this weekend, and that was a lot of fun. Did you get good tickets, by the way?
Yeah, good tickets. Great seats, section 214. So
oh, nice.
Just along first baseline. Just,
right above.
Right above. Perfect. So, I mean, you watch, again, going back to Austin Riley's 2 home runs. I mean, you see this thing just rocket off his bat, and it's just, I mean, it was just beautiful. But a great time. And what it was the Braves hosted a bunch of Parks and Rec baseball teams in my son's park. Was one of the parks.
Oh,
so
cool.
They parade, they allow them to parade around the field there, but you got to stay on the warning track completely around. They are so serious about people not being on that grass. I mean, they literally had almost every 10 feet someone standing and don't get on the grass, don't get on the grass. But kids had a great time. They get to see themselves walking around on the jumbo board. And, you know, we talked about it before, man. Baseball is like the perfect place to just eat hot dogs, drink beer. Like, it just it's right. just perfect, man.
Right.
So, also, the wife and I got a chance to check out Sinners on Saturday.
Awesome.
So,
what'd you
know,
think?
As good
what'd
as
you
they say?
As good
I
as
thought
they say?
It, I thought it was great. Now, I will say this, and it took, you know, someone, I saw someone post on social media that it kind of reminded them. They liked it, but they were like, it kind of gave me Dusk Till Dawn vibes.
Ooh.
And I was like, you know what? That's actually not a bad comparison. Not to take anything away from what Ryan Coogler's done. It's a great movie, but... Yeah, not a bad, you know, not a bad comparison, because personally, I love Selma. I mean, Dusk Till Dawn.
You like Selma Hayek too?
So, who doesn't? Yeah.
So, but that was the weekend, man. So
nice,
awesome. Well, now, what do you got for us, brother?
So, I wanted to touch on this. We didn't get a chance to really go through this when we did show prep, man. But how about our guy, Fran Brown? He becomes the first college coach to sign with an NIL agency.
Syracuse?
Yes. And I thought about this, and I'm just like, you know what? This might not be a bad move for coaches that may not have the Nick Saban-esque notoriety, the Kirby right. Smart notoriety, as far as, you know, smaller schools. Okay, maybe we can't pay you a whole lot of money, but maybe we can start working on NIL for you too. So could you guys kind of see this kind of being a future for collegiate coaches and you know, way smaller programs can kind of lure some guys that have some notoriety to them as far as building a program, but you know,
build your brand too. So I mean, and first off, Fran's dynamic personality, the kids love him. Young people love playing for him because he's got an earthiness, Carl, to him. You know, he's real.
He does.
You know, and you heard it at times when he gives great sound bites. I mean, it was funny. I mean, I remember Coach Key didn't say anything about, you know, being physical or trying to bring out physical Syracuse. He took that some answer about a very benign question and said, Georgia Tech thinks they're going to run us out of the building. You know, it's like, whoa. But it's how you motivate the other people. So he's got a dynamic personality, was an assistant for Kirby, has learned from Kirby, and then, as we said, put his own spin on it. So why not go maximize it and improve your brand and your ability to recruit, too?
These, I'm assuming, these are also multi-million-dollar deals, potentially, right? I'm guessing for a coach of that stature.
On and above your salary from Syracuse.
Right. Yeah. That, look, I think if the players are doing it and there's no guardrails, why not? I mean, like, I think most of these coaches would tell you they would prefer to have that investment into their program, right, in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
But also, I mean, if you can make some extra change and get some extra bread out of it, I don't see anything wrong with it. And if these coaches are, you know, helping these kids get extra, why not help themselves?
Yeah, and he's quoted as saying, I figure there's no better time than now to do it. So congratulations. I thought that would be, you know, obviously Coach Brown, you know, having done his time with us here at Athens. So wanted to kind of highlight what he had going on. All right, you guys touched on it a little bit, but we got to dive into a little bit more of the Bill Belichick. You briefly mentioned, Mike, the fact that with everything going on between him and Jordan Hudson and UNC and just right. What a show it is right now, he's now apparently going to bring in an outside PR company to help navigate and manage the waters.
Hey, man, by the way, I read this morning, and we played that Peter King soundbite, which is great. You know, the dean of American football journalism, if you missed it earlier, I could listen to this all day. Hear Peter King, and we'll come back to what Day-Day's talking about.
This is a guy who owned every room he ever walked into, and now he's got a 24-year-old muse telling him what to do or trying to control situations that, quite frankly, she has nothing to do with or should have nothing to do with. Bill's got to get a hold of himself here. He's got to get a hold of this situation. This is embarrassing.
And again, how it affects him at North Carolina, because she put the kibosh on HBO doing their version of Hard Knocks for College and trying to promote the Tar Heels.
When we discussed this last Thursday and we went in on it, and I said to Day-Day, and it was posted on our social media sites at 92.9 The Game, and many of you responded because either you didn't hear it or you went and you heard that segment. And many of you were like, I don't understand. Peter King's right. And this is exactly what we were saying Thursday, even though some of you were offended at the idea of, oh, let that man live. Really? Since when have you become those people that you are not concerned about somebody being controlled in a way that we've never seen him controlled? And by the way, it doesn't take away from what he's accomplished as a football coach. I think some of you mix those two things up. Nobody's taken away one of his rings. He is the most accomplished football coach in the history of the game. But that is also a part of this storyline that we want to ignore. Mike, what is his focus right now? Is it North Carolina? Is he focused on NIL and the best recruitment of his team and right. making his guys better? This is why he's hired a PR staff now or person to handle this. This is funny to me. Bill Belichick is hiring an outside source to make sure that his messaging is right?
Again, guys, and this is where it's so weird in 2025. Things that we took as commonplace and common sense just a few years ago now go out the window. Carl, this isn't the guy that was sitting behind me from Medellin with like the 22-year-old, you know, wearing the bikini top and the tennis skirt. And I asked him, what do you do back in Colombia? He goes, I own car dealerships. I go, oh, really? How many? He goes, all of them. Okay. Because he's living his best life. And he told me his son was there. He goes, this is like my wife number four for dad. But it was really funny. But yeah, but he's a businessman. This is an NFL coach now in the college game. And as Peter King just so eloquently put it, this was a guy that had complete lockdown of everything, and now he looks like he's a lost puppy, you know, chasing that tail, the other tail.
This is embarrassing.
It is. Thank you, Peter.
And I can't help but wonder, like, we're not hearing much, but there's got to be some chatter by North Carolina.
Well, that's what the article that ESPN did about just how the boosters and some folks were at odds with this decision. University president was kind of lukewarm on it. The athletic director was lukewarm. University chancellor wanted it. So there's really not, like, there wasn't, like, unanimity with it when he went to Chapel Hill. There's probably some people waiting for a screw-up here.
Well, what happens when Jordan says, you don't need to go to practice today? No, I'm being serious. Y'all laughing. No, what happens? Yeah. Like, when Jordan says, I don't like that kid, is he off the team? Like, this is where this is at when she's making all of the decisions. We're not talking about that. That's the kind of stuff that you can take for granted now. Mm. And if you're North Carolina, you're going, Coach, you really committed? Because if you're not, we need to know before the season starts. He's going to say yes, but is Belichick going to be at the facility like he was in New England at 4:30 in the morning? Because he was.
Well, actually, well, you got my son Steven if I'm not able to
be. And that's
here.
The other problem. Now you're relying on others where before you relied on nobody but yourself. Y'all can tell me whatever y'all want about it. This thing is out of hand. No. It's out of hand.
And by the way, I mean, who really wants his mullet head Fredo running North Carolina, if we're honest, okay? He had one stop at Washington. He's been, you know, he's on the coattails. It's pure nepotism. So we'll see where that one goes.
All right, last thing I want to have for you guys, man, really just giving props to the Kentucky Derby. Carl, you and Abe on Friday, Abe was asking the question, did it feel like the Derby wasn't having, if their hype wasn't
Debbie
there.
Debbie Downer, Abe, yes.
Right. So yes. I want to say, obviously, ratings and betting-wise, that was proved to be wrong because, first of all, they set records in both. 17.7 million tuned in. That's a 6% increase from last year.
Right.
Wagers totaled $349 million, breaking the previous record of $320.5 million set last year. And here, to their point with all of this, I probably haven't watched a horse race probably since I was about 10 years old.
Mm.
All right. I had it on Saturday. All right. I'm watching. I'm seeing them show all the celebrities. I last minute decided to hop on my my betting service.
Nice.
And see if there was anything I could do last minute. Honestly, I didn't do anything because I was like, I don't know anything about these horses. So, but it just goes to show that it even piqued my interest to get into it. So I think, you know, just hats off to them. They found a way. Granted, attendance was lower because obviously that may have dealt with the rain. People probably looked at the forecast. Attendance right. was lower, but viewership-wise, betting-wise, through the roof for them. So I just want to really say congratulations to them on having doing a great job.
The broadcast is fun because you don't really see those people other than when you're doing the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown races, but they're really NBC does a great job with it in the production. But yeah, I mean, you and I talked about it. We missed that. You and I had two horses that were in win place, but you got to get the third horse to make that trifecta. For instance, you know where people were just running in during the F1 weekend? At the Hard Rock, because you take the shuttle bus from the Hard Rock Hotel. Everybody's like, where's the sports book? Because now you go right to the kiosk. You don't even have to go to the cage.
That's right.
Put your credit card, your ATM in there. There you go. And you bet your horses. As soon as I get done, I'm on the bus day, and I'm talking to this guy. I said, yeah, I got 7, 8, and I got 18. He goes, oh, you bet Luxor Cafe? I go, yeah. Oh, Japanese horses never win. He was right.
Stall 6, 7, and 8 have won that race 38 to 40% of the time over the course of the history. So,
and you and I had 7 and 8.
What were your horse is and where they start matters, right? It's not your horse is in 13th stall. Good luck. Like, so that is why a lot of people are putting money on those horses. But I'll say this, and we'll wrap this up, Day-Day. The betting aspect of what you just said is why. It's legal in more states than it's ever been. People are wagering on it because now is the first time they've ever had a chance to do it. And I think the interest level for that, again, the best 2 minutes in sports, man, I love it. Mike loves it. Mike, as a kid, I say this, you talk about your dad taking you to bet on the ponies. Some people think it's very complicated, but no. Like when you go to Churchill Downs, like literally they'll walk you through the process. Right. If you ever get a chance to go to Louisville or any of these horse tracks, and it's really fun. And you don't have to bet. You can bet a dollar, man. You can bet $2. It doesn't cost a lot.
I was at the airport on Friday morning. I was at the Bobby Flay Burger Joint, you know, in the B-Gate.
Absolutely.
Great spot for breakfast, too. They got that burger with the chips on. Oh, it's fantastic. But anyway, there was two ladies that were going to Louisville. So I just said, and she's writing it on a cocktail napkin. I got to box the trifecta. They were from Myrtle Beach going up to the Kentucky Derby for the first time. Remember, kids, if you learn nothing from Dukes and Bell, box your trifecta. Thank you.
I did learn that it looked like Simone Biles might have been taller than some of those jockeys.
She probably was. She probably was. Great stuff, Day-Day. All right, coming back, man. Connor Riley's going to join us. Dogs find out in about an hour and a half what's going to go down. Maybe they already know. Are they going to get the number one quarterback in the country? It's Dukes and Bell. Mm-hmm.